Gord, how concerned should we be? We called it yesterday. Trap game.
It's a trap.
It's a trap, and the Leafs fell into it. Shorthanded goal, second shorthanded goal against in two games. They made Justin Falk look like the second coming of Drew Doughty. I mean, I like Justin Falk, good hockey player, but you know, there were guys scoring last night that I didn't realize played in the NHL. We're still in the NHL. You know, Sakaris, like Lindholm, I know the name, but it was Hampus, not Elias. So it's amazing, you know, to watch Nathan Gerby skating around and getting 2 points. Listen, the Canes have a great record against the Leafs. They have a lot of kids from Ontario, so they get up to play the Leafs. But we saw it coming, didn't we?
Well, we did. And Justin Falk's a guy, pretty good contract, $4.83 million a year. So, he's one guy, maybe a cut above the other guys you mentioned as far as profile-wise. But, you know, you go back, Joey, to I was saying with Mark Osborne last night that because Ozzy was part of it in 93, and where I'm going back to is there's four times the Maple Leafs have made it to the Final Four since 1993, and each time you thought they were the favorite in that series, whether it was Los Angeles in 93, Vancouver in 94, Buffalo that 1 year, and then Carolina, like Paul Maurice's Carolina Hurricanes won that conference final, and Cam Ward's had the Leafs' number for a number of years, and yeah, so we expected something like this to happen along the way when you're 10-1-1. I hoped it wouldn't be a clunker, but last night was a bit of a clunker. And, you know, Joey, in the third period, I thought when it was 2-1, we saw a lot of the old flash, panache, offensive wizardry of the Maple Leafs we've seen the past little while. But just too little, too late, and they paid the price.
Well, again, you get outshot, right? Bernier makes 33 saves. Cam Ward had 25 saves. Cam Ward played well.
That's normal, right?
No, but they've closed the gap comparatively speaking to last year, right? They've actually made an effort to play the right way, as they coined their phrase, the Stefan Robidas phrase that I've quoted a bunch of times, to play the right way. But you know, when Carolina dominates the first period, they came out. Carolina was flying, out shooting the Leafs 17-9. They're up 2-0. They getting on the board, you know, just after the midway mark of the first period, on a play that, you know, I don't know what Jake Gardner was doing in front of the net, not tying up Chris Terry, but Eric Staal made a fantastic pass. I won't say it was a no-look pass, but it was a pretty great pass right on the tape for a tap-in. But a guy's in the paint, and you don't hit him, you don't cross-check him, you don't move him, you don't tie up his stick. And another example of how this team, as good as they have been, as many goals as they have scored, those little things will kill them.
Well, that's the body of work that's been Jake Gardner has had a lot of that, a lot of those whoops moments so far the last 20 games or so. But you're right about that, and you know, it doesn't just come down to one play. It comes down to being flat. I mean, they're being outshot like 14-4 or something at some point in the first period. So, you know, drop of the puck, you got to come prepared to play. They weren't compared to Carolina, and they got outworked. And over 82 games, you're going to have a chunk of those, and usually those are games you don't win. And, you know, Joey, we were around together in the 80s, and when there were some decent Leaf teams, but there were some bad Leaf teams. And, boy, you struggled. It's a terribly long year, but every now and then you got a silver lining where you caught a team, outworked a team. And, you know, that's what Carolina did last night. You get those victories are few and far between. You treasure them when you're Carolina. And if you're a team like the Leafs, you hope you're not the victim of one of them, but you were, and it's your own undoing.
What did you think of Roman Pulak's return last night? Holzer out of the lineup.
Yeah, pretty good. You know, played about 19 minutes. And I think Corbinian Holzer is the guy that's going to stay up. And you can't send him down. I mean, he's the guy that'll be claimed on waivers in a heartbeat. And
yeah.
I think that maybe Randy might look at a Jake or a Morgan to sit down next game, you know, kind of keep it going, a seven-man system that way. But I really, you know, this last little stretch, they've done it without Roman Pulak and Leo Komarov, who I thought were two great. Well, one was an acquisition, one was a reacquisition in the offseason. And I've loved his style. I've loved his physicality. And I thought last night he played solid in the 19 minutes. That's for sure. It's good to have him back.
So going forward, the Leafs are going to be on the road with the World Juniors getting underway tonight at the Air Canada Centre. Canada-Russia, I don't care if it's an exhibition game. It still has that ring to it, Canada-Russia. And the Leafs now going on the road for 7 games. We know that this is the test. This is, I won't say where the season is made or broken, but they made a bunch of hay. They stacked up a bunch of points, but now they're going on the road. They play the Flyers on Saturday, then they're going on the road. How concerned should we be for this road trip? I know it goes through Florida. I know that there's, you know, there's some teams that there should be wins, but last night should have been a win too.
Well, first of all, Canada-Russia, I agree, has that same cachet. The word exhibition, though, is where I check off. I've been exhibition game to death, but I'm looking forward to the World Juniors, that's for sure. But on the NHL side, hey, Joey, the Leafs have played well on the road. That's the one upside. All in all, they've played pretty well on the road, even early on the season when they weren't playing great at home. But you're right. I mean, this is the grind. This is the dog days. And last year they didn't pass the litmus test, and I think that's why whether the players go, you know, why do people overreact in Toronto? It's not about the Stanley Cup since 1967. It's the last 3 or 4 years where something has gone south the last half of the season on a team that looked like they were supposed to make the playoffs. So this is the year they have to close that. They have to put that to rest and show that they're a true team that should be in the next round of the playoffs, and I believe they should. So this road, they played well on the road. They just got to keep doing it and do what they've done more so the last 13 games and less what they did last night.
Well, going on the road after the Philly game, they're playing in Chicago on Sunday, so that's a back-to-back. Yeah. They got a ton of back. I was talking to Phil Kessel about it, and he was talking about the schedule and how bad the schedule it was. And we're going to have a name drop sound effect, so that'll be on, later on the program whenever I drop a name. So just to give you the heads up that that's coming. So they play Philly on Saturday tomorrow, and Philly's a team that's like a wounded bear, losing last night, and you know that they're going to come in hard. Again, some guys, Wayne Simmons, Southern Ontario guys that are going to bring it tomorrow night. Then you play Chicago on Sunday with a quick turnaround. Go to Dallas, Florida, Tampa. You know, Tampa's not going to be a pushover. Dallas hasn't played as well as they want to. But again, Southern Ontario guys that are going to play hard against the Leafs. There's no easy games for this team, as was proven last night.
So you're saying Phil wouldn't salute the schedule maker right now?
No, I don't think Phil would. The schedule maker is definitely not on Phil's Christmas card list.
I think it's been a great schedule for the last couple of weeks. What a great schedule. Home ice and not a lot of travel. But, you know, the you create your schedule by hosting the World Juniors. So obviously Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment puts in that block for X number of weeks. So the schedule maker then takes it and goes, wow, this is okay. Not wow, but this is an opportunity to knock off a lot of road games because he requested home games early on. I will say this weekend, Joey, that you saw every team that's come here, Calgary, Vancouver, Los Angeles, they've gone on a bit of a losing skid when they lost to the Leafs. And as you say, tough game Saturday against Philadelphia, then Sunday against the best team in the NHL right now, the Chicago Black, or hottest team. Yeah, so you don't want to get three in a row, you know, that quick, or four or five when you had that great running start. So it's going to be a lot more of a grind. So you'll have the three-day break over Christmas. Randy Carlyle is big on, he's not the old Randy Carlyle about the long practices. I mean, they didn't even skate yesterday. He makes the skates optional or sometimes cancels them. So that's the way they got to go about it. The schedule's the schedule. Everyone's got to play 82 games.
I was talking about this yesterday, and before I let you go, want to get your thoughts on it. So moving forward, next year, we've got guys on this team that Dave Nonis, front office, Hunter, Dubas, all, you know, they've got more front office than any team in the league, maybe any team in sports. And they've made some very astute moves, picking up Dan Winnick, Santarelli, you know, trading for Holland last year, picking up David Booth, who's played well last couple of games, had some good bursts of speed last night, created some scoring chances. And then you've got Trevor Smith, and you've got the aforementioned Kirbinian and Holzer, all unrestricted free agents, along with Cody Franzen, who is the big dog in the group. What are they going to do after this season? They have some tough decisions to make. Will they have to make a trade of someone that's tradable that makes $5 million plus a year?
Well, that you're right, Joey. You're bang on, and that's one of the pleasant predicaments of having some success, and the numbers just don't add up. And in the offseason, you've got Kadri, you've got Bernier, and you've got France. I mean, those are your three keys. And then now, all these guys you sound like, you know, signed like Santarelli and Winnick, you're going to look at wanting them back, but they're not going to come for $1.3 million or $1.1 million or that. So did you buy out David Clarkson? I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying that would give you some money. You don't have a lot of wiggle room. And I don't know who you move because guys aren't, you know, there's not a lot of expiring contracts that way. So that's going to be the most valuable player in the offseason, the guy named Capspace. You can find that. And, you know, the other part is if the cap doesn't go up like we're hoping or predicting, that's going to even hamstring a lot more teams, including Toronto. So it's a happy predicament, but you're right. It's one. Right now, the math doesn't work to keep all those guys, and that's unfortunate.
You know what I loved last night? I think my favorite thing was last night. was seeing Tim Gleason on the ice for the Carolina Hurricanes, who's on the books with the Leafs for 830 G's this year, and then 1.833 next year, and then 1.3 and 1.3. So they're paying him for the next 4 years.
Boy, that you know, it just shows, Joey, like a misstep, how it can hurt you and then hurt you on the books still. It's funny. John Michael Lyles was a guy they committed to long-term, and then from the word go, it just didn't work out. So to move him, you had to do something with Gleason. Then to move Gleason, you had to do something cap-wise. And you're right. I mean, those are the things you want off the book. You don't like having those. It's like having a debt on your household debt for something that, you know, you really had serviced or got value of years ago, but for some reason you're still paying off. And that's what it's like. And that impacts in signing some of those other guys we were talking about, unfortunately.
It's highly relatable at this time of year, household debt. I'm sure you've got some going into Yorkdale right now. Hopefully you'll get through it, like you said, as a car wash, in and out, quick.
Yeah, but I'll have more. In about an hour, I'll have a lot more. But that's because I'm a Merry Christmas guy, Joey.
You know what? You are definitely a Christmas guy, and you've always had that festive spirit. No one wears a bad sweater quite like you, and we're looking forward to hearing you on the air. You'll be on tomorrow night, I would imagine.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon we're on Hockey Nation 5-7. Then we have the game and post game, and then again Sunday. So no rest, but that's great. I love this time of year, and it's been a fun ride so far. And it's always great listening to you, having you back in town, because we go way back. So it's fun hearing your voice around Christmas.
And it's so great that we both have our hair.
We're lucky that way. There's a lot of some other things that aren't quite working the same, but we've got our hair.
Okay, before I let you go, the last thing, 17 minutes after 9 o'clock, Vendetta in for Blair, Gort Stelick with me. The last thing, you and Ozzy, and I was talking to an Ozzy, not Ozzy Osbourne, although he'd be a great co-host, we wouldn't understand what he was saying. So you and Mark Osbourne, you give it to each other pretty good some nights. And I have to say, I enjoy it quite a bit.
See, that's the side of Ozzy. It's funny. Ozzy and I used to play backgammon 1 year on the team charter way back when. We actually had a year-long game of backgammon going. And, you know, Mark is like the nicest guy in the world, but he's also very candid. And people always said, oh, what's with Ozzy? You can't be critical. No, he can be critical. He can do that. And so we've enjoyed it. And, yeah, it started, and we have no problem busting each other. Because and it's done with respect, but it's fun. Because that's the idea. We try to envision it's people in the car talking about the game or hockey, or people having a beer or coffee doing the same thing. So it's we don't script anything. And some nights it gets funny or a little bit tense, but it's good.
And when you go to Yorkdale, are you a valet guy or do you park yourself?
I have no idea where I parked even. I don't know. I'm a lost guy. I'm a lost, like that TV show Lost. I wouldn't know where valet is. I wouldn't know whatever. You know, the guys at the blue security lights, I got in before. Like, I just come in early, and I'm hanging here, and fortunately, Second Cup was open, and the books place is open, but I guess 9:30 is when the big things open, and then my car is close. I park in the same spot since I came here 40 years ago, right?
So I'll give you a quick heads up on something that you can do to find your car. I did this years ago at the NHL All-Star Game in Sunrise, Florida.
Right.
We found a pylon, and that's not a defenseman. That's not when I played D in a men's league, but an actual orange cone. And
right.
We took the orange cone, and we had a white Cadillac, because the only thing you should have in Florida, the only car you can drive in Florida, is a white Cadillac, right? So we had a white Cadillac. We parked in Sunrise, and it's just that you've been to the arena where the Panthers play, which is now the BB&T Center. It's just a sea of cars, right? So we put the orange cone on the roof of the car.
That's a good idea.
Found it like that.
And then maybe I can do a, I can, yeah, you know what, maybe I can sell the spot for the next caller that comes.